Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of renewing the mind. Christians are instructed to undergo a transformation through renewing their minds. A renewed mind is a mind that sees reality as it truly is. We renew our minds, according to Romans 12:2, so that we can demonstrate the will of God. God's will is first and foremost that we become His sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and then be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in His humanity, is the pattern for God's family. Now, this week we're focusing on the fact that we need to learn from the Word of God who and what we really are now that we're born of God. Our minds must be renewed to our true identity so that the inward changes on the inside of us, because we're born again, can show up on the outside. Part of renewing the mind involves becoming aware of, through God's Word, aware of the changes that have occurred in your spirit through the new birth, and then learning to identify with what you truly are because you're born of God. And we're making the point that the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. Before you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, you were by nature a sinner. You were by nature an object of God's wrath. But at the new birth, we receive a new nature. We become partakers of the life in God, God's very nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says that we become partakers of the divine nature. We don't become God. We don't become divine. It's always He's creator, we're created, but we become partakers of His life. At the new birth, the Holy Spirit unites us to the life in Jesus. We've made the point that the Holy Spirit, well, let me say it this way. The Bible uses several word pictures to describe our relationship with Christ. Vine and branch, head and body, husband and wife, and all three of them convey the idea of union and shared life. When you believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit united you, your spirit, to the uncreated eternal life in God Himself, the life that's in Jesus, and you became a partaker of His nature. Whatever's in that life is in you now, because that life is in you. God shares His life, His nature, His holiness, and His righteousness with us. See, this is how God makes sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters. He changes our nature. A holy God cannot have sinners as sons and daughters. Unrighteous sinners cannot live holy, righteous lives. Sinners by nature cannot walk as Jesus walked. So God recreates our spirit by giving us His uncreated eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "The truth is that we are the handiwork of God. By our union with Christ Jesus, we are created anew for the purpose of doing the good actions which God had in readiness so that we can devote our lives to them." The first part of that verse was the Amplified Translation. The second half was the 20th Century Translation. But the point for our discussion is this. In the epistles, there are at least 130 statements, such as in Christ, by Christ, and through Christ, all of which are statements about what is ours and what is in us through this union with Christ, through becoming partakers of the uncreated eternal life in God, through becoming partakers of the divine nature. The condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. you are born of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You are now of God. That's your identity. Read 1 John sometime and circle every time you see the phrase, you are of God. We're of God. That's your identity, the condition of your spirit. Not how you look on the outside. Not even how you act on the outside. It's the condition of your spirit that is the basis of your identity. You are of God, born of God. You are in union with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, so if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new being. His old being has passed away, and behold, all has become new. Everybody knows that verse. If you've been a Christian any length of time at all, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yay, yay, yay. Wahoo. But that's more than just a wahoo verse at church. That's reality. If any man is in Christ, when you see the phrase in Christ in the epistles, you can legitimately insert the word in union with Christ. Some translations do that because that's the idea. If any man is in union with Christ, he is a new being. See, that's your identity, a new creature, a partaker of God's life. A new creature is a human being with the life of God in his spirit. That's what everybody knows we're new creatures, but what does that mean? A new creature is a human being whose spirit has been made alive with the uncreated life in God himself. A new creature is a human being whose spirit has been conformed to the image of Christ. A new creature is a human being with a new nature made out of holiness and righteousness, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Now, I realize an obvious question comes up at this point. What about all the junk in us? What about all the unchristlike stuff still in us, in our thoughts, in our emotions, and our behavior? Well, we'll address that next week in detail. But consider this one thought. None of that stuff comes out of your recreated spirit. None of it. None of it. That ugly thought in your head, it didn't come out of your spirit. That urge that you had in your body to punch somebody in the head, that didn't come out of your recreated spirit. It can't. Because you are now alive with the life of God in your spirit. Your recreated human spirit always wants to do the will of God 24/7, 100% of the time. The problem is, it's got to pass through your mind and your emotions or your soul and your body to be expressed. And your mind and your emotions or your soul and your body still want to do what feels good and is easy. They don't really care if they please God or not. But like I say, we'll discuss that more next week. The point for right now for this lesson is the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. Not what's going on in your mind, not what's going on in your emotions, not what's going on in your body. It's the condition of your spirit. And see, we introduced this idea last week. The changed part of you is bigger than the unchanged parts of you. Your spirit is not a little dot on the inside of you. Many people have the impression, because we say stuff like, ask Jesus into your heart, and you get the idea that God comes into this little dot in the middle of your being. And that's where he is. That's inaccurate. Number one, the phrase, ask Jesus into your heart, is nowhere in the scripture. It would be more accurate to say, bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You give your life to him. You turn over rulership of your life to him. Take up your cross and follow him. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion, your spirit is not a little dot, a little heart-shaped dot on the inside of you. Your spirit fills your entire body, every cell, every cell. Men separated from their physical bodies still look like themselves. If we were together and I were to die in front of you, my body quit working, and you could see into the invisible realm, you'd see me. I'd look like my body looks, except I'd be free from every trace of old age, corruption, and death. It'd be me without the effects of sin in my physical body on any level. Jesus in Luke 16 talked about two men who died. I don't have time to read it because it's kind of lengthy, but it's Luke chapter 16. It starts in verse 19. He talked about two men who died, but they were still fully recognizable, even though they were out of their bodies. They recognized each other. They recognized people who had gone before them. Why? Because your inward man is bigger than your outward man. Your inward man is not a little dot. Your spirit fills every part of your body. If even your little finger was lacking your spirit, your little finger would be dead. Because the body without the spirit is dead, James tells us. See, Moses, think about this, Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah stepped out of the invisible realm. Moses had been separated from his physical body for centuries when he appeared with Jesus in front of Peter, James, and John, yet he was fully recognizable. Now, of course, Elijah took his body with him to heaven. He was caught up in the whirlwind, whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion is this. Your recreated spirit is now alive and filled with the uncreated life of God himself. You have God by his life in every part of your being because you have it in your spirit, and your spirit fills your body. What if this was your view of reality? I am united to righteousness, united to holiness, united to strength, united to wisdom. I'm united to help. That's reality, friend, because you're united to God. So you're united to righteousness, holiness, strength, wisdom, health. Nothing can come against me that's bigger than God in me. I am of God. What if that was your view of reality? See, a renewed mind sees reality as it truly is. A renewed mind sees its true identity. I know my soul and my body don't yet express fully the inward changes, but they will. But the condition of my spirit is the basis of my identity. If your mind is renewed to your true identity, then that new man on the inside can dominate. See, that's why seeing your true identity is so important. That's why getting your mind is renewed is so important. The Bible gives numerous examples of people who saw themselves according to reality as it truly is, as God saw them, and they were empowered to overcome in very difficult circumstances. I mean, think of David facing Goliath. All the rest of the army of Israel was afraid of Goliath and couldn't stop him. But David's attitude was, I am a man in the army of the living God, and this giant is going down. He knew that God's army couldn't be defeated. And guess what? Reality as it truly is, the way that God saw him is what triumphed in that situation. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.